Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Zayin, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, 14 Seudot, Adam Chayav L'Echol B'Sukkah, Achat Bayom V'Achat B'Layla. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, as we'll see, the Teshvu Ke'en Taduru itself is Mechayev eating in your Sukkah, because you're supposed to live the way you normally live in your homes. You normally have a meal in the morning and a meal towards the evening. And that was the standard. And so that's a mechayev in the sukkah as well. But that would mean it's not up to you. Whereas the Chachomim say, in the davar kitzvah, you have whatever you want. Same way you live in your home, you eat when you want to eat. Same thing is true with the sukkah, except for one day. Chutz milele yom tov rishon shachag, the evening of that first day, that is when you must eat a su'udah. We'll get to this in the Gemara, and what the time imar. Va'od amar Rabbi Eliezer, mi shelo achal le yom tov harishon, if you did not get to eat on, now at this point we understand this means you didn't eat one of those meals, then you could make up for the missing meal. And yashlim, you would be able to make up for it on the night of Shmini Atzeret. And therefore, you could be even, now that's a little bit of a problem, because at Shmini Atzeret, of course, we don't eat in the sukkah. And on Shmini Atzeret, we eat anyway. So how would you make up for it? All of this will be discussed in the Gemara. V'chachamim omrim, ein ledavar tashlumim. You missed a meal. This must be referring to that first meal, because according to Chachamim, there's no other meal that you're chayef to have. So if you miss that meal, there's no way to make up for it. V'alzen ne'amar, and this is the kind of thing that Shlomo HaMelech was referring to, when he said, "Mu'uvat lo yuchal litkon, v'chesron lo yuchal himanot," once you made things wrecked, you can't fix them to make them straight. And whatever is missing can't be put back into the count. Okay, so let's go first try to understand what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Why in the world do we say you absolutely would have to eat 14 meals in your sukkah? Well, remember, until now, what have we been discussing? Yesterday, we spent all day discussing Teshvu Ke'in Taduru, that you're supposed to be living in the sukkah the way that you live in your home. So then that would mean that in the same way in your home, Madir Achat B'Yom V'Achat B'Layla, you normally would eat a meal in the morning and a meal towards the night. Av Sukkah Achat B'Yom V'Achat B'Layla. Same thing is true, you eat a breakfast and a dinner. V'Rabbanan. So what do they say about that? It's exactly the opposite. Isn't the whole point of Teshvu Ke'in Taduru, what we saw until now, was that it means that you're supposed to live with the same type of elasticity. If you're not comfortable with something, you don't have it in your house, and so on. So the same as a dira. Just like a home, Iboy Achil, Iboy Lo Achil, somebody's forcing you to eat in your home. So the same thing would be true on the sukkah. Live the way you want to. That's the point of Teshvu Ke'en Taduru. And it was because of that that we spoke yesterday about going out on a vacation during sukkahs and not having a sukkah and so on. And therefore, if anything, it's telling me just the opposite of sukkah nami. Iboy yachil, iboy lo achil. So the same way you live in your home, that's the way you live in your sukkah. You feel like eating, you eat. So wait, if that's true, where do they come up with this idea that you must eat in your sukkah? Now note that saying, even such an idea of you must eat in your sukkah, raises all kinds of issues. Because if you must eat in your sukkah that one meal, right? So then the question is, there's no longer a teshvu ke'en taduru on that one meal. Let's think about the implications of such a thing. Suppose you're mitzta'er in the sukkah. But the p'tur of a mitzta'er is not a din in the sukkah per se. It's a din in Teshvu Ke'en Taduru, right? So in the same way you wouldn't live in a house if you were a mitzta'er, you wouldn't live in your sukkah if you're a mitzta'er. But if you're telling me that there's one meal that there's no din of Teshvu Ke'en Taduru that is mentioned, which is that first meal, then that would mean there's no p'tur of a mitzta'er in the sukkah. It would be an absolute mitzvah. In other words, that what they would seem to be saying is that the misconception of what a sukkah is not a misconception on that first night. The idea that you must go out to a booth and live there is true. for one particular meal. That's absolutely astounding. So what would that mean? It would mean that if it's pouring outside and you're sitting in the rain dripping down into your soup, you have to eat in the sukkah. Wow. That's an amazing idea. Because, I mean, there's basically two different dinim on the sukkah. Yes, Rabbi Barnea, are you asking something?
Yeah, I had guests in my sukkah from Birmingham in England, and they were astounded at sitting in a sukkah, and there's the sun, as they said, our rabbi is mechadesh dinim. Is it teshukei teduru if you're wearing a plastic wrap on your hat with your coat? Right? He said he has to be mechadesh so that we can do something, because it always rains. You don't have not rain.
This was it's a very inappropriate comment here. The whole point that we're talking about is that we want to see the difference between there not being a din of teshuva.
Right,
yeah, I understand what you're just, but this is not the place to say it. Okay. In any event, that's what it would mean. So ask the Gemara, where would such halacha come from? Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Tzadok, it's a gezerat hakatuv. Where do we learn it from? Ne'emar kan chamisha asar, ve'ne'emar chamisha asar b'chag hamatzot. The Torah uses the same lashon. When it comes to Sukkot, what does it say? B'chamisha asar yom lachodesh hashvi hazeh chag hasukot. What does it say about Pesach? U'v'chamisha asar yom lachodesh hazeh chag hamatzot. So that is a Kabbalah that we have of one of the Gzeirah Shavos, and it teaches us, just like Laila HaRishon Chova, when it comes to Pesach, it's true that the rest of Pesach, even though it says Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot, it means if you're going to eat matzah. But you're not mechuyev to sit down and eat. Masha Einken on the first night, as we'll remind ourselves in a moment, from the extra pasuk of Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, you must eat matzah. Same thing is true about Chag HaSukkot. You don't have to eat in your sukkah. That's true because of Teshuvu. But there's a separate mitzvah of Be'erev Tochlu Matzot that applies to sukkahs as well. And that therefore that first night, you have to eat. So just like by Pesach, the first night is a chiyav mikan ve'elech reshut. Remember, we learned that out from Mashvi reshut, because it's a sheshes yomi instead of shivas yomi. So it's a dovra yotzi min haklal. Afkan laila rishon chuva, mikan ve'elech reshut. How far would that go? Now, that is a big question. On matzah, as you know, everybody's going to sit still and they're going to eat a kizayis matzah, b'chpeh achilas pras, and they're not going to put anything else on the matzah. Is it going to be pure matzah? Well, that's how we paskin lagabe sukkahs as well. You're going to take that bread, you're going to eat the entire thing quietly without making a hefsek, exactly as if you were eating matzah. And you would have to eat it b'chtei achilas pras. And it would have to be a kavona l'shem achilas chag hasukkos. And that's exactly what we have to do. There are even shitas that say that you wouldn't be allowed to put anything in it. The same way you can't put anything in your matzah because it would be matzah shira. You can't use bread that has anything in it. And they take it quite a distance, some of the peskim. But in any event, this raises a question. Because if you're only eating a kezayit, and we said before that those who hold you can eat a kezayit, and the shear of the chiyav of the sukkah only kicks in with the kibetza, which is true. So then you'd have to eat a kibetza, not a kezayit. And that kibetza would still have to be eaten b'chtei achilas pras. So this becomes quite a challenge. You know, don't mention this to your wife, because nobody's going to eat anything else after eating that kibetza, b'chtei achilas pras. You thought matzah was a problem on Lel Pesach, huh? Okay, so all of this is part of this amazing chiddush that we're learning out from the pasuk. And how do we know from Pesach there's an absolute chiyav to eat on the first night? Omar Kro, be'erev tochlu matzot. There's an additional chiyav. You must eat matzot, akatuv kiva'o chova. The Torah says, you mechuyav dafka to eat matzah, and that would even be besides the chiyav of the eating the together with your korban pesach, which is why mechuyav even bisman hazeh. Okay, now let's take a look at the next thing Rabbi Eliezer said. Rabbi Eliezer said, and you can even make up for it so that there's a din of hashlama. So you missed one of the meals, so then eat it on Shmini Atzeres. Now, what do you mean eat it on Shmini Atzeres? On Shmini Atzeres, you don't eat in the sukkah. Didn't Rabbi Eliezer say right here, two lines before, Arba esrei sudot, chayav adam lechol basukkah? Didn't he say you have to eat that in the sukkah? So you have to eat in the sukkah. How are you going to be yotzei on Shmini Atzeres eating it out of the sukkah? You're not even allowed to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because of the problem of Baal Tosif. So how would you be able to be mashlim a meal out of the sukkah where the entire chiyuv is that you're supposed to be eating the meal in the sukkah? Omar Bira, this is how Rashi understands it. Omar Bira Omar Rabami, Chazar bo Rebbe Eliezer. Well, truth is, Rebbe Eliezer had charata, and he's made an out of the chachomim. Again, this is how Rashi learns, that there's no particular number of meals that you have to eat, but you have to eat that first meal. So therefore, we're talking about over here that you can be mashlim. What he's saying is you can be mashlim that first meal. So over there, he's saying that there's a concept of ashloma. So now the question is, now, by the way, this is not the way that everybody learns. Rashi's understanding is that Rabbi Eliezer had charata from his entire halacha. There's no more din of 14 seudas. He now agrees with the chachamim. The only question is whether we're learning out from the comparison to chag and the concept of chagiga, that just like if you don't bring your korban chagiga on the first day of any of the shalosh regalim, so you can bring a chagiga during the next 6 days. This is true even for Shavuos when it isn't Shavuos. It's still, you may hashloma. So he says the same thing is true over here. If you miss that first meal, so then you'd be able to make up for it, even though it's post-Sukkos. So now, again, the question is, but he didn't change his mind about eating in the sukkah, did he? I mean, he's still saying that you're mechuyev because of Chamishah, so you're mechuyev to eat it in the sukkah. So then how in the world did he now allow you to do the same hashloma on, which according to Rashi was the whole question, on Shmini Atzeres, where there is no sukkah? So how exactly would it work out? Apparently, it must be that when he was chayzerbo and he's saying there's no chiyev bedavka in the sukkah, then now he's understanding that there's only a chiyev to eat on the first night. The fact is, if you eat, obviously it's going to be in the sukkah. So if that's the case, you could eat it even in the house on Shmini Atzeres, which is really weird. Okay, anyway, this is how Rashi understands it. Tosfos disagrees completely, and he says that the idea over here is Rebbe Eliezer only pulled out. He didn't change his mind completely. All he did was change his mind about the question of there's a number of different approaches. The question of whether there is a chiyuv of hashlama, the question of whether it has to be in the sukkah, and it's not that he changed his mind and that here we're talking about the first meal. He agrees there's still with his original view that there's 14 and they're not making up the first meal that had to be. It was making up for any of the missed meals. Completely different approaches to the Gemara, not like Rashi. But in any event, okay, this is how Rashi learns. He's going to be making up for the first meal, and it's a din in Hashlama the way it's a din of Hashlama for the Korban. So now explain to me how exactly, by the way, there's even the Shita of the Taisus Reed who learns that now that we're saying this, then you can actually eat it in the sukkah. Because if you're on Shmini Atzeres, because if you're coming to tell me that there's a d'oraisa, in fact, to eat in the sukkah the first meal, and there's a din of hashlama, so then that din of hashlama would say that when you're eating it on Shmini Atzeres, you're eating it as the sukkah meal, and not as a Shmini Atzeres meal, in which case it wouldn't be Baal Tosif. How is it Baal Tosif if there's a chiyuv of hashlama? Even that is a possibility in the sukkah. There's many different approaches over here. And by the way, that svara of the Tosfos Reed is a real sense of justification to those people who are noyeg in chutz la'aretz to eat in the sukkah on the Lel of Shmini Atzeres, because since they're learning that it's a halacha of a din in sukkahs, then it wouldn't be Baal Tosif vis-a-vis Shmini Atzeres. But it's the same svara. I need to eat this because of the mitzvah of sukkah, not because of the mitzvah of Shmini Atzeres. Okay? So there are some indeed who do that. Anyway, but there's another problem. The other problem is, how can you be mashlim by eating a meal that you would have eaten anyway? In other words, if I'm eating tonight on Shmini Atzeres, it's Yontif. I would always be eating a Yontif meal, right? So how exactly can I be mashlim when the meal that I'm eating is a meal of the Yontif of Shmini Atzeres? So mashlim b'mai. I mean, you're telling me that what? You're going to be eating the regular seuda, meaning your bread and so on? I mean, then that would just be seuda de yomei ka'achil. There's nothing about that that in any way shows it to be other than the normal meal that you would have eaten on the Yontif of Shmini Atzeres. And therefore, how could that be a hashlama? Elamai yashlim, yashlim b'mine targima. What it must mean is that you add these additional type of things that you would not normally be eating with your meal. And here you have sort of like a kiddush after the seuda to be yotze your hashlama. Now, the problem, this is what Rashi says, and the problem, obvious problem is as Tosis points out, that if you're going to tell me, I mean, Rashi says you should bring out, like, fruits and things like that. I mean, fruits aren't chayav in the sukkah. So how could you be yotze a hashlama of the very kind of things that you wouldn't be yotze the chayav of eating in the sukkah for, mitam chamishasa in the first place? And that's how we paskin, that fruits really don't need a sukkah. It's very, very strange. So some learn that this is a raya that Rashi holds that we paskin that the fruits do need a sukkah, and therefore it can be a hashlama. Anyway, we had this same question before in Tosus. What is Targima referring to, remember? And it was Nogea Bechlal Legabe the Suda Shlishi, what you would be yotze for your third meal on Shabbos. So Tosus holds that Targima can mean also things like fish and meat, and other issues that you're eating together with your bread. So if you would be koveya, you want to eat these things as a meal, so then you would have to go into a sukkah. That's how Tosfos holds. Others learn that nothing would be chai of you in a sukkah that is just bread without bread, but it would have to mean something that we said before, which is the way that we had paskins. The absolute chiv, it would have to be chameshes bine dogon. There would have to be at least something that your mechuyav a mezoinus on. So that must be what it would mean according to those, the sheet of the Rosh. So Yashul b'mine targima. Tanya nami hachi, imishlim b'mine targima, yatsa. So that if, even, now this does not mean that you can't eat another meal, obviously. I mean, if you're capable of going out for a walk, coming back an hour later and having a whole other meal, that would be, of course, fine. But the question is there a way to actually be mar'eh, your hashlama, without actually eating another meal? So here it says you would be yotze, just with mini targima. Shal apotropos shel Agripas HaMelech et Reb Eliezer. So there was this guy who was in a quite powerful position, and he was responsible for overseeing the royal estate for Agrippas. So he asked once Reb Eliezer, well, how about me? I mean, I am really way too busy to have two meals a day. And, you know, in order to avoid my getting fat, I engage in intermittent fasting of 20 hours a day, and I only eat 4 hours a day. You know how it goes with our jet-setting people. So how about somebody like me? I only have a minute to eat one suda a day. So then, according to you, who's learning out Teshvu Kein Taduru, so then could I eat just one suda in my sukkah, and that would be enough? Omar Lass, Reb Eliezer said to him, and this is Nogea, the idea of Mini Targima. He says, yeah, listen, you know, we know about these guys who only eat for 4 hours a day, you know, but while they eat for the 4 hours a day, they manage to get in a lot of ice cream. Because you know, what I eat, while I eat, right? So there, you manage to be mosif, like all kinds of delicious things, you know. You know, you manage that. You can't do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet. So, you be yotze with Mine Targima. Another thing that this guy asked Rabbi Eliezer was somebody like me. So, I got a girl in every port, as you know. So, I've got like two families. I got one in Tzipori, I got one in Tveria, you know, and I have to split up my time between my different families V'yesh li shtei sukot, achat b'tferia, v'achat b'tzipori. So, like, can I just move from one sukkah to another? Because I have two sukkahs. So, or is that considered to be, like, not a sukkah for shivas? So can I go from one sukkah to another sukkah and be yotzei? He was asking this Rebbe Eliezer L'Shitaso, obviously, because Rebbe Eliezer L'Shitaso says that normally a person doesn't live in two places, and therefore he's not allowed to live in his sukkah in different places. So how about me? I do live in two places. Omar lo, absolutely not, said Rebbe Eliezer. Shani omer, kol ayotzei misukkah l'sukkah, if you go from one sukkah to another sukkah, you just were mevatel the first sukkah, and you weren't mekayim any mitzvahs in it. And this is based on the pasuk Kitanya Rebbe Eliezer Omer. This is what Rebbe Eliezer Shitas brought out, which is that ein yotzin misukkah l'sukkah. You cannot move from one sukkah to another sukkah during yontif. The ein osim sukkah, and therefore it would also follow that if you didn't have a sukkah on the first night, you cannot build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed, because that would not be a sukkah for the entire time, and you're mechuyev to have that one sukkah for the entire sukkahs. And the Chachomim say there's no such thing. You can sit in as many different sukkahs as you want. Yotzim misukkah l'sukkah, osim sukkah b'chol Shel Moed. Even Rebbe Eliezer agrees that if your original sukkah fell down, and you're allowed to rebuild it during Chol Shel Moed, because that is the same sukkah. There's a machlokas over here. Tosfos brings us even a girsa that you only would be yotzei if you built it out of the same wood that you had your original sukkah. In other words, you just rebuilt that sukkah. But the mashmaut from other Rishonim, including Rashi, is that it's not the point of the material. It may not even be the point of the place. It's the point that this is your sukkah. So if this became the replacement for your sukkah, then it's sitting in the same sukkah. And that's if it collapsed. Now, where does Rebbe Eliezer get the din that you cannot make a sukkah in the middle of Yontav? You would have to have that same sukkah for all 7 days. Because, Amar Kra, Chaga Sukkot Ta'aseh Lecha Shivat Yamim. So this means you have to make a sukkah for 7 days. It's got to be the same sukkah that is Re'uya L'Shiva. And what does the Rabbanan do with that? They say exactly the opposite. What it's coming to tell me is, make a sukkah all 7 days. Meaning, if you don't have a sukkah from before, then if it's the sixth day, make a sukkah on the sixth day. It's the seventh day, make a sukkah on the seventh day. And that, in fact, it's coming to tell me that there is no halacha in which if a person was unable to have a sukkah, so therefore he becomes nitcha from the mitzvah. On the contrary, to do whatever of the chag sukkahs that you can do is exactly the point. Okay, and then you said that if it fell down, that you can rebuild it? I mean, is it sort of obvious that you can rebuild it? It's pshita. No, because I might have thought the Rebbe Eliezer means literally the same actual structure needs to be a structure for Shivas Yomi. So Mao detema haya achriti ve'ena l'shiva, so that therefore, according to him, you wouldn't be yotzei, because this is not a sukkah l'shiva. Kamash malan, that a replacement is considered to be the same sukkah. Again, as we mentioned earlier, machlokas, how much of a literal replacement it needs to be in terms of using the same material, or whether the replacement could be even in a different place if this is your sukkah, certainly a different material. Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, another element that comes from this idea of Ta'aseh Lecha Shivat Yamim is that Rebbe Eliezer says, look, are we all agreed that you're not going to be yotzei your chiev of a lulav if you take somebody else's lulav? And this is lakachtem lachem, right? So you've agreed to that. So kishem she'in adam yotzei yedeicha vato biyom tavarisha shachak v'lulavo shachaviro. So it says lakachtem lachem biyom harishon priya tzadar kamot marim. So the yom harishon means that you've got to take it lachem. It's got to be owned by you yourself. And there we learn out Mishalachem. So the same thing is true about sitting in somebody else's sukkah. You can't sit in somebody else's sukkah. Kach ein adam yotzei yedecho vato besukato shel chaveiro. So even if the guy says you're welcome to use my sukkah, it doesn't mean you're going to be yotzei. That's no different than a guy telling you you're welcome to use my lulav, unless he gives it to you b'matana. Obviously, it won't help. Because it says, Chaga Sukkot Ta'aseh Lecha Shivat Yamim. And Lecha means Mishalacha, the same way Lechem means Mishalachem. The Chachamim omrim, however, the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Af al pi she'amru, ein adam yotzei chovato biyom tov harishon belulavo shel chavero, aval adam yotzei chovato chovato besukato shel chavero. How do we know that we shouldn't be derish ta'ase lecha the same way we are derish b'shelachem? Because it's a pasuk, tichtiv. Why did the Torah add kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukot? That teaches us shekol Yisrael ru'uyim leshev b'sukah achat. The all of Klal Yisrael could technically be yotze in one sukkah, whether it means at one time, whether it means one after the other, or whether it means that theoretically this one sukkah could be anyone's, and we would all, meaning any of Klal Yisrael, could be yotze in it. But the point is that it's clearly saying that it doesn't have to be yours. So Rashi is saying it doesn't have to be yours because there's no way that you could even have a shutafut in it, because there wouldn't be enough to go around. Because how would you have a shavah pruta for all of Klal Yisrael that you should be able to be yotze? So as he's taking for granted that if it would be possible to have a shutafut, so then that would be itself sufficient to prove that, to be yotze, that it's yours. But since that's not possible, so it can't be yours, obviously you don't have to. Others learn that the very fact that even in the din of shutafut would be okay, that it would be a raya that it doesn't really have to be yours, because to be yours would mean to be fully yours, and it isn't fully yours. This would we're going to talk about later when we get to the halachas of Mishalachem with the Arba meaning. So what do the Rabbanan do with that word, lecha? I mean, so why did the Torah add in lecha if it's not teaching me a halacha that it needs to be lecha? That, they say, that comes to be memayet esukah gizula. But shu'ula, to borrow a sukkah, that would be okay, because it says kola ezrach. That's good for the point. The Rebbe Eliezer, hi, kola ezrach. So what does Rebbe Eliezer do with the fact that it says over here anybody can sit in a sukkah? No, that's coming to tell me a big chiddush. Let me ask you something. According to me, that you need a sukkah that's good for all 7 days. How about if you became a Jew only in the middle of sukkahs? So are you potter from sukkahs? Because after all, you don't have a sukkah that's really shiva because you weren't chayiv in the sukkah. Or how about if you were a katan who becomes a gadol in the middle of circus? So now what? So now you don't have to sit in a sukkah because there's no way you could be chayv in a sukkah. Comes along the pasuk and told me that in that case, kol ezrach yeshvu b'sukkah. So if a ger is mitgayer in the middle of circus, or a katan who is nitgadel in the middle of circus, he still has a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah. So, oh, wait a second then. So how did the Rabbanan know that's true? What do you mean? The Rabbanan don't need to know it's true, silly. According to the Rabbanan, anybody can build a sukkah in the middle of a sukkah. So would I need a special pasuk to tell me that a gershon is guy or a cotton that was in his gadol? It's obvious, right? So given jamra osim sukkah, b'cholo shalmoed, so obviously they don't need a pasuk to tell me that if you just grew up during cholo shalmoed, lo yitzruch kra. That is an amazing question of yours, which gives rise to a fascinating issue that comes up all over Shas. And that is this. Why do we need, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's saying we need the pasuk of Lecha, the Chachomim, the Lecha is coming to tell me to be Mamayit Gezula. So the question, the obvious question is, that everyone asks, that normally we learn out that Gezula is pasul, simply because of the fact that it's a mitzvah b'dei avera, right? So you wouldn't be yotze, mitzvah b'dei avera, you're not yotze. So why do I need a special pasuk to tell me the din of a sukkah gezula? By the way, there's also a lot of discussion what constitutes a sukkah gezula. I mean, a sukkah gezula would be what? You walk into somebody else's sukkah without his permission, and you take his sukkah. Is that called gezel? I mean, is it karka? Is it attached to the ground? Karka ain't an exelet. Is the sukkah on his Winnebago, and you drive away with his Winnebago, maybe? That might be a sukkah gezula. What about if you steal his wood and you make a sukkah? But that wouldn't be a sukkah gezula because then you'd be kone b'shinui. You steal his schach, you make the sukkah. You're kone b'shinui. Or there's also takanas hashavim. Takanas hashavim means that once you build something, you don't have to tear down what you built to give it back. You can just pay for it. In which case, it wouldn't be gezula. A lot of discussion. What about if you do what the Chabad house does in the Old City. And they put a sukkah in the middle of Rosh Hasharabim, down the stairs over the cardo, and everybody who walks by, therefore, should at least get a chance to make a bracha in a sukkah. Is that a kosher sukkah if it's in the middle of Rosh Hasharabim? Or is it being gozel the rabim? So this, all of this would be a question if karka in an exelis. L'maisel Chazanish says, in the event that you would prevent the rabim from being able to go, then it would actually be possible according to all of the shitas. Okay, but anyway, getting back to the question of why it's not possible because of mitzvah b'avera. There's an amazing minchas chinuch that's got all kinds of implications. I'll mention one of them. But here the minchas chinuch says like this. If I would learn that it's a mitzvah b'avera, all it would tell me is that you're not yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. However, there would be no iser in eating out of the sukkah, because I didn't eat out of the sukkah. So memela makes a tremendous nafkamina. If there's a din that the sukkah has to be lecha, then the sukkah is posel. If it's a din of mitzvah b'avera, it's not that why would the sukkah be posel? It's just you can't be yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. But I don't need to be yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. I just don't want to be over on doing the iser of eating out of the sukkah. Memela, I need the pasuk to tell me that b'etzem the sukkah is posel. Right? So this is like a lot of the peskim, like, oh, I don't believe this. This is the Magen Avraham. The whole mitzvah, the whole idea of the iser of eating out of the sukkah is because of the mitzvah of teshvu, kaintaduru, and so on. But if you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah, where do we come up with an idea that you're not allowed to eat out of the sukkah? It's all because of the mitzvah that say to eat in the sukkah. How are we creating two completely separate issues? This type of argument comes up in so many different places, such as, let's say somebody puts on a talis without or with kavana not to be yotzei the mitzvah of the talis, and he doesn't want to make a bracha on it and so on. He just puts it on to cover himself and somebody else's talis, whatever. So the question is, would he be wearing a beged without tzitzis, or it's perfectly okay because the beged has tzitzis, it's just he's not going to be yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah, of the tzitzis, if you're mitzvah tzrichas kavan, or if he specifically is b'chavi not, where everybody's buddy, you're not yotzei. So it's the same type of issue that shows up in many, many areas. Are there two separate things in a case where a mitzvah is b'chayiv you not to do something in another way, like wearing something that is four corners and you're being mevatel the mitzvah of sukkah? Of tzitzis. Tana Rabbana. There was a maisa once that Rabbi Loi went to be mekabel ponim to Rabbi Eliezer, who was his Rebbe. And Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud, and that's where his bezdin was. And he came in the middle of Yontif. So Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Loi, Eloi, in chami shoftei aregel, I don't get it. But you don't keep sukkahs. I thought you were a religious guy. Because Rabbi Eliezer says, I think that lazy people who are too lazy to leave, I don't care if they're doing it just because they're lazy. It's a very good thing to be lazy during Yontif. You're not supposed to be driving around the traveling places. It says, so how are you going to be? Going to be running around? How are you going to be happy with your household? What? The Omar Rebbe Yitzchak, I thought it's a chiev to go and visit your Rebbe during the regal. So over here, and we learned that out from the whole story of the Shunami, to which he went, Lo Chodesh Hayom, Lo Shabbat. So Omar Rebbe Yitzchak, Minayin Shechayav Adam Lahakpil Pnei Rabbo Beregel. Shenemar Madua Atolechat Elav Hayom, Lo Chodesh V'lo Shabbat. So why are you going to visit the Novi today? Michlal, the Bechodesh V'Shabbat, B'chayim V'Nishlag B'lei Api Rabbi, Mashman, that you do have to go if it actually would be a Yontif. So how is it possible that over here he would say to him, you're not allowed to visit me, he's coming to visit his own Rebbe? Lokasha, Rebbe Eliezer holds that the mitzvah is only chal if you can go and come back on the same day. So ha, da azavati biyumi. And Hada Azo Veloati Biyume. One is talking about that you go in the same day. There you have a chiyuv because it's not a ma'akev to the Visamachta Tovetecha. So it's okay. Masha Einkein, if you're not going to be able to come back that day, so then you're not mechuyev. Another, we actually it's brought la halacha that there is a chiyuv even on Shabbos, if you live in the same city, and there's a chiyav on Yantav, even if you live outside of the city. Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh b'Rebbe Eliezer she'shavat b'Galil Elyon. It once happened that Rebbe Eliezer, of course we're going to ask, how could Rebbe Eliezer be in the Galil Elyon if he lived in Lud? And he says, you're not allowed to go anywhere on Yantav. Fine, we'll ask that question in a moment. But it once happened that Rebbe Eliezer was in the sukkah of Yochanan b'Rebbe Eloi in Caesarea. Some say Caesarion. I don't know if Rabarnea wants to tell us the difference between Caesarea and Caesarion. Perhaps he does.
There's a number of places, but Caesarion might be in the Golan. But I don't know.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, over here it says he was in the Galil Elyon. Probably not then. Anyway, Higia, you should write a paper on this. You know, Higia Chamala Sukkah. So anyway, they're sitting in the Sukkah. The sun is starting to touch the Schach of the Sukkah. So he says to Rabbi Eliezer, Rebbe, would I be able to put a sheet over the sukkah so that you don't get uncomfortable from the sun? So Rebbe Eliezer said to him, you know something? Ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet mi Yisrael shlohem mi bimenu shofet. Tell you an amazing thing. Every single shofet of klal, every single shevet had a shofet, which is really not, we don't know from the pasuk that this is true. But he had this as a Kabbalah, that it was true. But, I mean, as Rashi points out, Rashi goes through all of the idea of having a shofet means someone who was listed as a person who was Moshiach Yisrael, right? And we're talking about over here. So from the time of Yoshua till the time of the Malach. And once we have Shmuel, so then we had Shoal, and so on. But so he goes through. We have Yoshua, that's Ephraim, Ehud from Binyamin, Gideon from Menasheh, which covers all the Bnei Rochel. We have Shimshon from Dan, Barak Mikadosh Naphtali, that covers Bnei Bilha. Ifson is Boaz, that's Miyehuda. Eli is from Levi. Tula is from Yisachar. Elona Zvulan is obviously from Zvulan. And we have other Shoftim that we don't know where they were from. We have Otniel, we have Yiftach, we have Shamgar, we have Yair, we have Avdon. Now, it doesn't say where they came from, and there are also Reuven, Shimon, Gad, and Asher that doesn't say which Shoftim they had. So Rebbe Eliezer had a Kabbalah that all of those matched up with the ones that weren't mentioned, or that there were other Shoftim that aren't mentioned in the book, whatever. But in any event, this obviously did not seem to have very much to do with the question of whether he's allowed to put a sheet on the sukkah. So, okay, he obviously picked up, I ain't getting no answers apparently. All right, so then he didn't do anything. Well, he wasn't going to go and spread out a sheet if he wouldn't tell him. All right, anyway, they're talking. Meanwhile, the sun gets up halfway up the sukkah. Now it's the middle of the sukkah. It's getting very close to his Rebbe's body. So he asks him again, Ma'oshef rotsa le'al sadin. Omar lo, you know, I want to tell you a big chiddush. Ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet mi Yisrael shelo yatzu mimenu neviim. Forget about Shoftim, there were even Neviim from every Shevet. And Shevet Yehuda ben Yomin, Hemidu Melachim alpi Neviim, even if we don't have Neviim from them, but their Melachim came from Neviim. Anyway, meanwhile, the sun hits his body. So it gets to his feet, to Rebbe Eliezer's feet. So Yigia Chamal Margalotav Shav Rebbe Eliezer, so Yochanan Rebbe Eloi takes a sheet, and he spreads it over the sukkah. Rebbe Eliezer takes his talis and storms out of the sukkah. He didn't want people to say that he had Pascha, that you'd be allowed to put the sheet on the sukkah. V'yatza, lo mipnei shifligo bidvar. You should know, the reason that Rebbe Eliezer changed the topic was not because he didn't have what to tell him. It's mipnei shelo amar davar shelo shema rabo miolam, mipi rabo leolam. He didn't say anything that he hadn't heard from his Rebbe. Remember, we discussed this before. We said over the different shitas that some learn that this means b'chaye rabbi. He wouldn't say over a psak b'chaye rabbi that he didn't have from his Rebbe. There's also a tremendous theories because he darshened in front of his Rebbe. That was the question. Samaram Mipano says that actually in front of his Rebbe he would, because he was sure that mi'emas rabo, he wouldn't say something that wasn't incorrect, and his Rebbe could always correct him. But if his Rebbe wasn't there, he wouldn't want to say something. Then my Rebbe's pshat was, which I don't know, but it's a sort of a chutzpah like a pshat. But he wouldn't have said something. Shalosh Shama Mirabo means that he wasn't certain that this, what his Rebbe's das was, based on what he was Shama Mirabo. Okay. So but he used to bring a raya from there that a person could become so much a wonderful Talmud that he can know what his Rebbe would have said about this. And that's what it means, Shalosh Shama Mirabo. Anyway, but how in the world did Rebbe Eliezer go to a sukkah that wasn't in Lud? V'omer Rebbe Eliezer, ein yotzi misukkah l'sukkah. No, who said it was sukkahs? It was I didn't say it was sukkahs. It was a completely different time, a different regel. What do you mean? But he said you're not allowed to go in any regel. V'omer Rebbe Eliezer, mishabeachani at atzlanim, she'ein yotzi mibatei. No, it wasn't even yontif. Actually, it was only a Shabbos. They were happened to be sitting in a sukkah just because it was so pretty and they wanted to be, you know, outdoors. Now let's just take a look at some of the implications of this. One is that we thought originally he was talking about on sukkahs, right? So Tosis brings a raya from here earlier. This is back on Daf Yud. Tosis brought a raya from here that there's nothing wrong with protecting your sukkah by putting something on top of it. So if you would put a sardine on top of your sukkah, says Tosfos, because you want to stop the sun from hitting, and you have enough of a tzel in the schach, that it's certainly kosher schach, it's tzeltzu merubim mechamata, so how are you passeling it by putting on a sheet over your sukkah? So put the sheet over your sukkah. This is his raya. Many, of course, disagree with him. First of all, who's to say that there were going to be yotzei the sukkah? Maybe because there were mitzvah, there wouldn't be yotzei. I mean, there wouldn't be yotzei. Anyway, the question also, by the way, is over here, would you be allowed to spread out on Yontev or on Shabbos? Because that's where the Gemara is coming out. You're allowed to spread out, and this Ramesha had this as a Shaila, can you put a plastic, a tablecloth or tarp over your schach if it starts to rain? So you pull over a plastic over the schach, and now you are making is that considered to be meisif on an oil on Shabbos or Yontev, or is it okay? So he said, well, it's obviously okay, because as we're about to see, the only problem where it wouldn't be okay would be if it creates a gap of a tefach. So over there, if it wasn't already spread a tefach, you'd be making a new oil. So there could be a problem. But if it wasn't, if it was down on the schach proper, there's no problem. And it certainly is not a chashash that's going to leave it there, because you're going to obviously be taking it off in order to use your sukkah. So it's definitely an oil aroy. And an oil aroy, you're allowed to be maisif and alav on Shabbos. So there would be no problem to do this. So the only question is the machlokas about whether you'd be yotzei the sukkah in cases where you're protecting things with something else. Okay, that's a machlokas. In any event, what it comes out over here is that really this was Shabbos and not Yontav anyway. So what was the question? The question was only Lagabe the Dinim of Binyan. Is it considered to be Binyan or not? And Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to answer Rabbi Yochanan because he didn't have a Kabbalah on that. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean he didn't have a Kabbalah on that? He was the one that already gave the psak about this. This is the sugya we've had so many times, the sugya of Pekak HaChalon. How many times did we learn Pekak HaChalon? The Tanan, this was the mission we had back in Shabbos. You've got a shutter, and this is like basically this board. You stick it into your window, and it's connected to the window with a wire that's screwed into the wall. And every time you want to close, you just pull it up, and you pull it into the window, right? So Rebbe Eliezer says, Bizman shekashur v'taluy, if it's so short, the wire, that it doesn't hit the ground, so it's hanging next to the window, then you're allowed to poke a kinbo. But Imlav ain't pokekinbo. So even though it's only a oil aroy, you see that he requires that it be actually connected. And therefore, if it was connected, and it's definitely not an oil keva, so l'chora, he should be asering something where it isn't clear-cut, that it's part of the idea over here. So anyway, why didn't he say that it should be usur to put it over the sukkah? Why did he say, I can't tell you? If he already said this psak, he must have already been mekabel this psak from his Rebbe. Hatamu, says the Gemara, no, there it's different. Over there, by putting it into the window, so over there it no longer is considered to be separate. He was mevatalit, and that means he is adding to something that is a real ohel. Avalachal mevatalit. Over here it's clear that it's not part of the sukkah permanently, and therefore maybe it has nothing to do with pkakach alon. Pkakach alon, I'd have to be machmir, but over here I wouldn't be machmir. So that, he didn't say. That required him to say something that wasn't directly addressed from his rav, and that he didn't say.